Welcome to another edition of Overtime on the MN Hockey Hub Radio Network, brought to you by Good Look Inc. If you deal with male pattern balding or hair loss, log on to mygoodlook.com to learn more about the revolutionary permanent non-surgical procedure. That's mygoodlook.com. Joining us here on Overtime is our good friend and friend of the program, Ken Pauley, head coach of Bonneville St. Margaret's. And, you know, Ken, I have to say, I had sent you an email earlier today, and the question of the day was, how many kids in those high school halls that are roaming at the friendly confines of Bonneville St. Margaret's really don't want to be there?
They didn't want to be here a month ago, so you imagine how it is right now.
Oh. So what kind of... What kind of tricks do you pull out of your bag here? How do you keep it interesting to get it to the final bell?
Well, you know, one thing you can do, and this my 3 years at Minnetonka High School, the kids love this one too. We pull off that HBO special on the 1980 Olympic hockey team because it has the Iran hostage crisis in there, gas shortages, the Cold War, so we make it all fit, maybe put in some hockey, and we're ready to go.
You know, we are here to talk about hockey, and it's really, really funny. It brought this to mind. I was watching. Have you seen that HBO special on the Philadelphia Flyers, Broad Street Bullies? Have you had a chance to see that?
I have not, but I'm chomping at the bit to see it. I hear it's terrific.
Well, it is. And the footage is outstanding. And you know what's really quite captivating about it is, you know, you think of the old Slapshot movies and the old depictions of hockey and how they you know, these guys were absolutely gesturing to the crowd, climbing into the crowd. I mean, these guys were fearless and would do anything to anybody, anytime, any place. It was quite impressive. But the thing that was interesting is when the Russian team, the Red Army team, came in and, you know, walked off the ice, of course, that was sort of touted as a precursor, where they were talking about Clarence Campbell hated the Broad Street Bullies and that how he, like, needed them because they'd cleaned the clocks of the Rangers and a few other clubs. So that was quite interesting. So I think they're calling that part one of the miracle.
Oh, it was great. I'd say the Flyers were my team when I was a grade schooler because of Bernie Perrant. I loved Bernie Perrant. And I had no concept as elementary school kids they were just beating the crap out of everybody. But I loved it because I remember we'd always fight over, well, you're about the same age. The kids would fight over who had got the Hockey Illustrated out of the library first all the time.
Oh, you had to have the first quick step, or someone else had it.
Oh, well, yeah, because they had the color poster in the middle. The first thing we got, it was still the color poster, right?
Of course.
But anyhow, there was an article in there, and I remember basically it said Philadelphia had restored the National Hockey League honor by beating the crap out of the Soviets.
It was unbelievable. So, I mean, if you get a chance to, you and any listener, if you haven't seen it, it's a great testimonial. And it's kind of weird because it to me, it sort of connects the dots to where we are today. It is sort of timely because the Flyers are in the Cup Final right now. They're in it with a pair of goaltenders who it's kind of like, yikes, I can't believe this is happening. But that has been their Achilles from Bernie Perrant on. And, you know, it also kind of goes to show about how the game has evolved and changed.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah, I mean, just look at the equipment, the size of the goalie pads. I mean, people talk about that forever, right? You know, in terms of goal scoring. It was tougher to play goalie in the 70s. No equipment.
Hey, you know, I'll say this, and, you know, to quote my good friend Mike Milo, who was a goaltender, too, back in the day, he said, you want to pick up scoring, you want to get bigger numbers, put that stuff on that we had, that was garbage. I mean, you know, he said, put the fear of God back into these goaltenders, and you better believe they'll be bailing out when a guy can shoot the puck. There'll be goals everywhere.
I think I still have bruises on my legs from my squirt year.
Oh, the knees took a pounding, the elbows, it was just thankless.
Yeah.
And how bad did every goalie look from our era as goalies? We just had no style, did we?
No, but we were working on those skate saves.
Oh, what was that? What was that all about? Why were we so, like, force-fed into the skate saves? What was that all about?
Well, you know what, though? It was the stand-up style, right? Because the only way you were going to get to the corner was with the skate save. And now, basically, with the whole V-drop thing, the skate save is just so archaic.
Oh, it's incredibly archaic.
You know, so from one standpoint, is the goalies are better low, but they're also, I think they're worse high, and they're
way worse.
I don't think their angles are as good. I know this drives you nuts, Wake. Throughout the year, you know, these goalies create space by going down all the time. And So, yeah, we had the skate tape down, but I think we kept our feet better, too.
Well, and you know what Warren Strelo always said, you know, if you ever said, well, what, you know, you didn't really question why we were doing the skate saves, but he'd drive it home. He said, you know, really everything, every movement you should make should really be a derivative from this simple movement. And so that's why you always saw that flaring style. And I think what happened is people felt as though because we were making a blocker pad, say, but the skate, he was saying, was pointing you to the corner with your blocker. Or your stick was steering it in. And you know, it if you look at the numbers, I don't think the goals allowed are that much different than they are today. I mean, you find me a butterfly goalie that's being taught in the vein that it is in this market right now, and I'll find you a heartbreaker in the crunch in the playoffs. That's what I've always said. Little editorial for you there, buddy. So a couple things on the high school front to talk about. A lot of things came out. Of course, we saw the – and I'll be checking in with Lauren Nelson in part two of this edition of Overtime. But and by the way, Ben Hankinson was slated to meet us, but I think, you know, he's so busy following Big Buff with a diaper and a drop cloth. You know, Bufflin, of course, is his client, you know. So Benny Hank is, like, drooling over all of this stuff. So I'm leaving him alone for the week, but he is going to join us. We're going to talk about the scouting combine and everything went on there. But we had the Hockey Day Minnesota announced outdoors at Moorhead this year. Kind of an interesting deal. I don't want to say it's a forgotten area because, you know, it's, you know, we know all about the Mariucci Conference, but kind of nice to see them get it, isn't it?
It's kind of a great choice, Wade. I really think the Moorhead Youth Hockey has really been famous for doing an awful lot of things right, and has got a lot of notoriety, through the years from people who really do know. But I think it's great, and I would think it'd be wonderful if we could, move that bad boy down to Rochester next year, get in some of these other places, just other than the Iron Range, North Shore. Those are great spots, but I agree. I think it's great to put up there in the Northwest.
Well, I can tell you this, Ken. I am clearly hoping, because I'll be there, that they're working the spuds. Have you ever had the opportunity to have a spud on game night? The best baked potato with the works you'll ever want. I swear, you it's a full meal. You'll go back down 94 on that bus content. It's quite impressive. It's quite impressive. Now let's talk a little bit about you got a player by the name of Jake Oborski that's making the move from Red Wing, of course. Coach retires there, and now he's heading up to Benilde St. Margaret's. Can you tell us a little bit about your excitement level getting a player of that caliber?
Oh, sure. I mean, Jake is a heck of a player, and, you know, I know some of the legs out there, no pun intended, my friend, will think that, you know, that somehow he was attracted or recruited up here.
Why don't we go Jesse Ventura and say Jackals?
Yeah, the Jackals, yeah. But seriously, his father's transferring, moving up here to the cities, and, you know, basically completely legit. In fact, I know when he had visited school, I talked to George Nemnitz, who's a very good friend of mine as a coach. I had no idea at that time that George was going to be retiring, and he and I talked about, George, and all that. It looks like the family's going to be moving away. So that's just, it's one of those things where nothing under the table, over the table, or to the side of the table. It's legit deal, and the fact is, we're thrilled to have him. And why wouldn't you be? You know, he's like a heck of a player, and he really, really seems like a nice young man too. And I know that's always a cliche, you know, but it's really important, especially when a kid is. I don't care, like, when someone's moving in, it's really important that they kind of fit into your program, because that can have some negative consequences as well. As you know, but we feel real good about it.
Have you seen him play much at all in the spring here, or do you not know much?
No, I haven't. In fact, I really haven't seen him at all. But I just know that he Red Wing had a nice little run. They got the next championship for their section, and as a sophomore, he had about 26 goals. So I don't need to see a kid play to know that's pretty good.
Well, if you want to have a take a look, any of the viewers out there, we did a Red Wing New Prague game. Great perch on top of the bench area where he was alive and well in that contest. So you can go back into the archive section under Fox Preps, check hockey, and it'll be there so you can get a first-hand look at his game.
Yeah, and our club, we've got a lot of good young talent coming back, so. For someone to someone to come into play, they're going to have to, they're going to have to earn it big time. We have a lot of good players here, and he certainly, certainly from all accounts, is the real deal. So, and in our section, we need all the real deals we can get.
Well, it's a great section, you know. I mean, it's what it's all about. You know, let me ask you this. You know, your summer is coming around the bend pretty quick. Your STP program starts, very successful one. You and I have discussed before in the past that it is really for you. That's your youth program for the 7th, 8th, 9th graders that are part of Benilde St. Margaret's. That's their way you can kind of work with them and get going. How successful has that been for you, and how much do you enjoy doing it?
Year where you're not cutting kids, you're not saying who's on JV or varsity, you're just working the kids and you're having a good time. And it's been, I think any of the programs, and I know you had Dave Blaine's on a couple weeks ago, and I heard Dave talking about their summer program and how big that's been to them. And I think anyone who has for better or for worse, year-round deal now, and you certainly better have a summer development program in place, and the better programs have good ones in place. And we do 6 weeks, so we go 4 days a week and do the dry land and classroom and all those things. So it's very important for us because we are not a community-based program. We don't have a feeder system. It's very important for us and those kids who are coming to BSM and those kids in our junior high that we can introduce them to how we play and hopefully, prove skills a little bit, and that's really where we're trying to plant our flag, quite frankly.
Well, I can speak firsthand. My son, I think, was he two in a row of years that he was a part of, and the best part of his summer, and the younger guys, so he was a first-year peewee when he started, have to get up early, and never a problem. It was amazing, and what I liked about it actually structured him to want to go to bed early and approach it almost very workmanlike, but it was his decision, and so those are some benefits I don't even think people really realize about the structure of what you got going with these.
Well, and you do get some kids, and the little bulldog way was great, and that's the thing, when you go for a couple months with these kids, you get to know them, you work with them on a daily basis, and it's not some AAA deal where you're going to Canada for 2 or 3 days and the rest of that. You're seeing them on a daily basis, so you get to know them and make some connections. And not everyone in our camp necessarily goes to Benilde. And, like with Little Wags, you get to know those kids, and you'll follow them with a lot of interest, the rest of the way. So there's an awful lot of bonding that takes place in the summer, too.
Well, I don't want to turn this into a love fest, because that's what it's quick becoming. And thank you for the kind words for the young man. But, it was a tough decision for him this summer because, I as a parent have not been a AAA advocate. And I think it's one of the, I don't want to call it a taboo discussion or anything like that, but I find it quite curious that you go from a consumer perspective with your kids' hockey at the younger levels, you just go full pedal to the metal. And then you step back and it becomes real right around the Bantam, the second year peewee age, and people start taking stock and saying, maybe we need to be around this high school coach a little bit more. So my question is, if it's okay then, why isn't it okay when they're younger? That's always kind of been my question.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. It's a little bit taboo, and I think it's interesting. There's a lot of different layers to hockey, and AAA is a different duck in a lot of ways, and I think it has its role in hockey for sure. But I just never want to see it become the primary role because if it takes on a degree of primacy, I think it will be counterproductive to the game because all those real positive things that happen in terms of development and relationships and the rest of that, I think are so very important. I don't see AAA fostering that in a very real sense. And if you talk to anyone out in Massachusetts and out east, it really has destroyed hockey. It's destroyed hockey out there. And like I said, I think it has a place. We've got some kids here who've done AAA stuff and have enjoyed their experience the rest of that. And I think that's cool. They get together, there's tournaments they want to go to, no problem. But I never want to see it to become the primary outlet, because I think it will be counterproductive, quite frankly.
Well, and, you know, we are running out of time here on this segment, but I do want to finish on this note and get your final thought on it. You know, from that note, I think what hurts it, and you look at the Massachusetts, remember the quotes from Jack Parker, the Hobey Baker Award ceremony last year, when he said, Minnesota, don't screw it up, keep it the way you got it. Everybody wishes they could be like this. I think what happens is you get parents who become general managers, and they start picking kids from throughout the metro and the state area. They start making friends and social and business fears. I mean, let's be real. I mean, and you know it's true if you're listening. It's become to me, as a longtime hockey person, a joke. And so what you don't want to do is infect the game that way. I've never seen a team make a player better. I've only seen players make teams better.
Well, it's something where... Attempt to put the very best kids together. I don't know what that's doing to establish, you know, the overall basic quality of what we have, and that's what Jack Parker and, you know, any other Eastern coach will tell you, is that, yeah, you know, it's really great for you to find, you know, skim off the top 15 kids and send them off for your 4 or 5 straight summers, but it doesn't necessarily do anything, you know, for the rest of, for the rest of Minnesota hockey. And, you know, you think about all those great players that have come out of places like Willie Rozo and Warro and the rest. I mean, what'd they do? They got better and they made everyone else around them better. And that's how the game got better. And again, it merits probably more discussion, more time than we can give it. But I don't necessarily disagree. Like I said, I think it has a place, but it cannot have a primary place. I think it was the primary place, I think, for all trouble.
I completely agree with you on all fronts there, Ken. You know, we're going to have to fly. Looking forward to seeing you this summer. You and I are going to have a Twins breakdown. I will say this on a final note. I'm convinced that Nick Blackburn doesn't like to wear a baseball hat. You know, you know how he tucks that thing on top of his lid like that? It just looks, when I'm wearing one, I start doing it now. When he's doing it, it makes me uncomfortable.
I don't think you're wrong. If he can win 20 games, he can do whatever he wants with
that. Go ahead. He's on pace. But I want you to take special note of that. And then the other part is, could Scott Baker walk around the hill a little longer and wipe the back of his hair to get the spitter going any longer?
I don't know. Is he posing out there or what?
I'm not sure. And finally, Wally Backman's meltdown, if you've seen it. How good did you? Did you appreciate that one?
Yes, I can appreciate it, and as a responsible educator, I cannot recommend it, but it's funny.
Of course, Wally Backman, former Twin, goes on an expletive-laced tirade of which, did you see, did I send this to you? The umpire actually was fined and suspended. Meanwhile, Backman was called in the right for being upset over his player being ejected. Great stuff. Ken, enjoy your summer here. We've got to fly. We're going to check back in with Lauren Nelson as well, as we continue to roll through our overtime programs. So I thank you to everybody. We've been doing great with our numbers on these shows and the programs. So thanks for taking your time out to listen to this stuff. We appreciate it. And Ken, thanks for the forum to get this done.
Wait, thanks for having me. And please direct all angry emails to Pete Wagner.
Gee, thank you. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Overtime. Ken Pauley joins us in a spirited affair right here. We'll be back with more, hopefully catching up with Ben Hankinson for next week. So long, everybody.